Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. It's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to our award-winning For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, this morning we're heading up to the Hartford region to visit with New Horizons Village, a nonprofit founded in 1967 dedicated to serving more than 100 adults with physical disabilities. We're going to hear about some of the latest exciting developments happening there and invite you to the upcoming New Horizons Village Art Celebration happening at Hartford's Infinity Hall, showcasing the artistic talents of people of all abilities and featuring a performance by the renowned Blind Boys of Alabama. Then we're going to touch base with one of the state's premier nonprofits that takes care of our furry friends. We're going to introduce you to Animal Haven and let you know how you can help the organization or perhaps adopt one or even more furry friends of your own. Then we're going to close on the theme of workforce development and the opportunities that employers can explore by tapping into the talents of able individuals with disabilities seeking employment through Ability Beyond. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. While bracing for colder temperatures this winter, Eversource wants customers to look out for the seasonal increase in common utility scams. These scammers show up at front doors or call on the phone, posing as Eversource employees to get money, demand personal information for identity theft, or use deceptive marketing tactics to convince customers to switch energy suppliers. This week, as part of Utilities United Against Scams, a consortium of over 100 energy companies, Eversource is urging customers to beware of scammers and to heed law enforcement warnings. Eversource urges anyone who believes they're a target of improper solicitation to alert local law enforcement and contact the company directly at 800-286-2000, because the energy company tracks these types of customer concerns and reports them to state regulators. Well, we love to check in with friends and organizations that are working to make a better life for individuals who are who have a hard time. And I'm talking about New Horizons, which culminated from a vision that began in 1955. But New Horizons Village opened in the Farmington Valley in 1986. They're celebrating their 32nd year this year. And they've got some really, really exciting things going on, some of which you may not know about unless you were directly involved with New Horizons Village or had a loved one who was staying there in one of their, you know, incredibly outfitted apartments and living areas. The village combines barrier-free housing with non-medical care and transport services that are subsidized by a financial assistance program for qualified tenants. It's located on 26 acres south of Hartford, and they've got a really exciting reason for you to make plans for early December. There is this upcoming fantastic art celebration showcasing the artistic talents of people of all abilities, and it's going to feature a performance by the renowned Blind Boys of Alabama. And we're going to come back and talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, let's meet Carol Fitzgerald. She's Executive Director of New Horizons. And we're also going to check in with Dan Hinks, who's the owner and founder of Infinity Hall, with locations in Norfolk, Connecticut, and in downtown Hartford. He is on the New Horizons board, and he's been instrumental in helping New Horizons with this arts festival, and has been great support for them. Right, Carol?
Yes. Thank you, John. Dan has allowed us to use his facility in downtown Hartford to promote this art celebration, really what we call it. And we're excited to have the Blind Boys perform and for us to present a lot of interesting artwork and excellent work that was created by some of our residents as well as people from different organizations throughout the state.
Yeah, I was gonna say, having been a huge fan of Infinity Hall, and I'll mention this to Dan as well, since they opened the first property in Norfolk, and with that exciting development of the brand new, talk about state of the art, music and entertainment venue in downtown Hartford, sort of across the street from the convention center and the science museum, almost on the waterfront there. It's a fantastic space for a kind of a sprawling type of public event like you're having with this arts festival, because they have the cafe and they have the concert area, but there's all these kind of multi-level spaces and areas where I imagine you're going to be, placing art. And are some of the artists who created this art actually going to be there as well?
Yes, there will be. We'll be displaying the talents of many artists, some of whom will be there, who are challenged daily with different disabilities. We have people coming from Hartford Artisans Weaving Center, the Art Connection Studio, Albertus Magnus Art Therapy School, Oak Hill, and we'll be exhibiting a lot of information about their programs as well as the great art that's been created.
Very good. And you've got a lot of donors and angels lined up already who are helping you guys really knock down the what might to some be a very prohibitive ticket cost, right?
Yes, angels indeed. We really have some generous sponsors that we are so thankful for, and they include Berkshire Bank, that is brand new here in the Farmington area, Comcast, ConnectiCare, the Connecticut Health Foundation, Eversource, the Greater Hartford Arts Council, and Hartford Current and Hartford Events, and of course, last but not least, Dan Hinks and Infinity itself that's providing this great venue.
Yeah, Advanced Wheels also with you guys on this?
Yes, I apologize. They are absolutely helping us with this as well.
Excellent. Before we give people additional details and let them know how they can get involved and get tickets and come out to not only see the art but enjoy the truly uplifting and inspiring performance of the Blind Boys of Alabama, let's switch gears a little bit, because we're talking about the state-of-the-art Infinity Hall there in Hartford, but you guys are also working on your own state-of-the-art project there. You're in the final stages and poised to kind of implement a capital improvement plan that apparently is going to bring the entire facility up to contemporary ADA standards, including some of the buildings that were originally outfitted back in the 80s.
We are. As you mentioned, we have been open since 1986. So as you can imagine, there were different requirements back then, different needs. I mean, since then, obviously, wheelchairs have changed and different things that have come about which make accessibility for residents so much easier if we would have them. Well, we are going there. We have received funding from all different sorts. We've worked very hard over the last year, and we will be, as you said, making this a state-of-the-art facility over the next couple of years, in the hopes that for the next 30 years, desperately needed housing of this type is available for many, many residents out there.
Mm. And for folks that are not necessarily familiar, this is way more than just a care facility, because as a result of them being able to live somewhat independently and kind of explore their own capacities and powers, a lot of the people who have either been through or are residents at New Horizons Village, they're quite engaged in the community beyond the property there in the Farmington Valley, right?
Yes, they are. We have tenants here who are very involved in political activities. We have tenants who attend our local state colleges and universities. We have tenants here who work in the community. So yeah, we are a community here. These are tenants who live at New Horizons and are able to thrive because of the services that we offer for support on a daily basis.
And some thrive to the extent where they actually detach from New Horizons Village, I'm sure proudly and gladly on your part, and make a home for themselves in the community and serve as an example to others, not only at New Horizons Village, but anywhere.
Absolutely. We provide a continuum of care. So we have New Horizons Village, which, again, is you know, adaptable apartment living for people with support services. We have a facility in Middlebury, Connecticut, next to Waterbury, which does not have the support services, but has great apartment living for people also in wheelchairs, and that it's very accessible. And then we have a nursing home if there's more intense needs that may come up at a person's life circumstances, and that's Cherry Brook in Canton, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So we offer a continuum of care and certainly support our residents in you know, being the best they can be in whatever that means.
Yeah, with whichever stage of their life or to the extent their ability or disability demands support.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is all great news. In order, of course, to make these capital improvements the best they can be to sustain New Horizons Village to the extent that it can continue to be this exceptional community for folks, whether they are there for their entire lives or they're there for transitional purposes, this arts festival is going to play a great role. And why don't we invite folks out to this event, let them know where they are going to need to go to learn about tickets, and let's talk just a little bit more about that before we say goodbye to you and give Dan a call.
Sure. You can call Infinity Hall directly and you know, purchase tickets there, or if you need any direction or assistance, please call us at New Horizons, and the phone number is 860-675-4711. We'd love to have the community come out and celebrate the artistic talents of people with all abilities. And again, it's December 2nd at 5 p.m. and that's a Sunday afternoon.
And is this something that goes you know, well into the evening, or is this kind of an early night event?
I think it's just, you know, a few hours. It's certainly not going to go late, so it's a family event.
Great.
Perfect Sunday afternoon in the cold weather.
Yep. And it's a one-stop situation, although there's a lot to do around Infinity Hall in Hartford. Infinity Hall itself offers everything from food to beverages to the live concert by the Blind Boys of Alabama and this showcase of artwork from numerous individuals throughout the state of Connecticut. So we hope folks will come out. And if you know someone or a loved one of your own may be able to benefit from the team at New Horizons Village and our guest for this first part of the interview, Carol Fitzgerald, their executive director. You can learn more just by going to newhorizonsinc.org. Right, Carol?
Yes, please do. And we are happy to have visitors. We give tours of the facility. We can host meetings. We're very engaged with the community, so we welcome people to come and visit.
Right. And there's a capacity there for over 100.
Yes. 101 residents, yes.
Excellent. Very good. Well, Carol Fitzgerald, great to speak with you. Congratulations on your pending capital improvement work. We'll probably come back around and chat with you again at least by this time next year, if not sooner, and check out some of the other innovative and exciting things you have going on there and check in on your capital improvements. Otherwise, maybe we'll see you on December 2nd. So thank you so much for being part of this segment of the program. Well, as promised, now we're on the line with Dan Hinks. He's the owner and founder of Infinity Hall and a member of the New Horizons board. And Dan, if I understand correctly, your ties to New Horizons are pretty personal and go back some time. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, they do, John. We actually, I got introduced to New Horizons actually as a child. My mom was one of the founding members of New Horizons. She kind of started visiting them back when they were, before the physical facility was built in Unionville. It was in the Britton Memorial Hospital, which is now the Hospital for Special Care in mm-hmm. Britton. And anyway, she was volunteering there, and this it was a large group of people needed a place to live independently, and they didn't need the doctors and nurses that were caring for them so much as personal care attendants, and they wanted to have more control over their own destiny. So the concept of New Horizons was born out of the folks living there, and my mom was volunteering there and kind of latched onto that and helped them facilitate that. And they ended up raising money through strawberry festivals and the like, and bought the land in Unionville, and ended up building the facility sometime later. And it was really quite an amazing place that's really puts independent living at the forefront for folks with severe physical disabilities.
Yeah, well, having been someone who has literally seen this organization grow from its inception to what it is now, and now that the organization New Horizons is eyeing this huge capital project to bring them sort of into the new century and beyond in terms of the ability that they're for their ability to be able to serve the population that needs them most. What are a couple of things that you would say to folks if you were, pitching them to get involved like you are as a supporter of this organization? I mean, certainly the ability to, as you said a bit earlier, provide a greater degree of independence is certainly a life-changing and life-enhancing opportunity for these folks who live at New Horizons.
Yeah, it's not too challenging actually to see it, because the folks that live there, are very spirited folks, but really kind of got a bum rap when it comes to their physical capabilities one way or another, either from birth or through an accident, they need help. But they're striving to have as much independence as possible as any person would want. So it's really a great place that facilitates people with severe physical disabilities actually having their own apartment, hiring their own personal care attendants, and having as much control over their day-to-day lives, but also having the backup support with attendants as need be for them, any kind of medical assistance that they might need, also transportation requirements. It's just a phenomenal community that supports 100 people that live there. And so it's really, and I think as with any really important volunteer initiative, the amount that you put into it comes back many times to the giver. So it's just that's the way things are. And so it's I've gotten a lot from my time with New Horizons, and it's a great organization. And now they are they built New Horizons 30 years ago, and the requirements for independent living and amongst the physically disabled have changed quite a bit in that 30 years. Both wheelchairs have gotten larger, door jams need to be wider.
Sure.
Also, it was set up to have two people per apartment back then, and so now what we're hoping to do, as most people would much prefer to have a place of their own, so we have a building initiative to build some additional units and have the majority of apartments be single unit apartments.
Fantastic.
As opposed to doubles. So okay. That's a big goal, and we're really excited about it, and we're going to we're going to be making that happen.
Well, I was going to say the best thing for you is that on Sunday, December 2nd at 5 p.m., folks will not only be able to experience the uplifting and inspiring music of the Blind Boys of Alabama and take in this art celebration and learn more about New Horizons Village, but they'll be able to do it in the beautiful confines of Infinity Hall in Hartford. So we hope folks will come out to take advantage of this full evening of artistic talents and enjoy the talents of the people there and to support this important organization in the Farmington Valley. Dan Hinks, we want to thank you for really being there from the beginning with New Horizons and not only providing your leadership and expertise and support as an individual, but through Infinity Hall as well. And we want people to go to newhorizonsinc.org for more information, to learn how to donate, volunteer, maybe make a capital contribution towards this fantastic new program, or, of course, to get tickets to come out to the art celebration on December 2nd at 5 p.m. at Infinity Hall in Hartford. Dan, thank you so much for being part of the program.
My pleasure. Hope to see everybody December 2nd at Infinity Hall, Hartford, for the Blind Boys of Alabama to celebrate New Horizons.
So regular listeners to the award-winning For the People know that we love our pets, we love our animals, and we love to bring on guests that talk about not only taking better care of our pets and our animals here in our listening area, but who also help connect people to pets and connect those pets to loving homes. And no organization is better at doing that than the Animal Haven. And we're going to be talking with Linda Marino. She is the volunteer president and chairman of the board of Animal Haven. She's joining us on the line this morning here in our midpoint segment. But we're also going to talk about all the cool and exciting new things that have been happening with Animal Haven in the recent few months and probably well over a year, I'm sure, this renovation planning has been in the works that we chatted with Linda about before we went on mic this morning. So let's open that mic up and have Linda join us. Hey, Linda, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on For the People.
Oh, thank you so much for having us on your show. We really appreciate it.
So, I was going to say this this program has a statewide reach and beyond. Tell us a little bit about your specific location and the primary areas and communities that you serve.
We are located at 89 Mill Road in North Haven, Connecticut, which is outside of New Haven, a few miles outside of New Haven. And we serve the greater New Haven community as well as other cities and towns in Connecticut. And we also serve people in Massachusetts and surrounding states. They often see one of our pets online and come to our shelter to adopt them.
Oh, okay. Now, do you bring in pets specifically from like the central and southern Connecticut area, or do you also intake? I know there are some organizations that have contacted us here whose goal is really just placing pets that come from disaster areas like Louisiana and Mississippi or Florida or Houston, perhaps even these days from Northern California or Ventura County. Where do you get your adoptable pets from?
We get our adoptable pets from a variety of sources. Mostly they are surrenders from the community or strays found in the community, mostly cats and kitten strays, because stray dogs go to animal control. Mm. So people need to surrender them for a variety of reasons, and we take them in, or cats and kittens are found as strays, and we take those in. We also, when room provides, take them from other places where they're in tremendous need of rescue, or it will also pull from high kill, shelters that for room need to euthanize some of their animals. Mm. So we take in adoptable animals that have that potential fate. We are no-kill, so an animal at our shelter will be at our shelter until it is adopted. But other shelters that take in any animal that comes to them, you know, have room constraints and have to turn to euthanasia.
Sure.
So we try to rescue when we can.
And I gather that your organization is one of a growing number of similar animal care and placement nonprofits that have tapped a growing number of foster pet parents. It's not just about adding more, cages or putting more dogs together in cages and cats and perhaps other animals, but you also have a network of people who may take on one, two, three, or even more of these animals and sustain them until they're adopted.
Well, because we are very fortunate in that we have a physical shelter, it is helpful to have the animals there as much as they can be there, because when people come in, they're there to be adopted.
Mm-hmm.
But in kitten season in particular, we do have a very big foster network. In fact, all of our staff have kittens at their homes, and I also, some of the board members, foster kittens all summer, because when they're very, very young, they're fragile and they're much better in a home environment. And we don't adopt them out until they're old enough to be spayed or neutered,
mm-hmm.
which is about 3 months, because all our animals before they're adopted are spayed or neutered. So all the little kittens and the bottle feeds that don't have their moms, they go into foster homes. We have volunteers who do it. We have staff that do it. We have board members who do it. And they bring those kittens until they're about 3 months, and then they go back to the shelter and get adopted. We also have circumstances where there are older cats that just need to get out of the shelter, and people have very generously stepped up to the plate and taken those cats in for us until a home can be found, or some of those people are what we call foster failures, and they end up adopting the animal.
That's good.
And sometimes... Same thing with dogs. There are particular dogs that don't do well in the shelter, and we then do a shout out on our Facebook page and say, look, this dog is not doing well in the shelter. Is there somebody who could foster this dog for us?
Great.
But that's rarer.
Well, I was going to say, we're going to come back and let people know how they can get in touch with you if they're interested in taking on an Animal Haven adoptee, or if they're interested in supporting or volunteering from you, or perhaps donating some supplies, of course, coming out to the holiday festival. Folks, if you are interested, the Animal Haven's 2018 Holiday Fair is this coming Saturday, November 24th, from 9 to 2 at the North Haven Congregational Church across from the Town Green in North Haven. We're going to come back for a few minutes more and talk to Linda Marino, who's the volunteer president and chair of the board of the Animal Haven, right after this break. Stay with us. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. The American Red Cross is facing severe blood shortages after a significant shortfall in donations during September and October. With the holidays right around the corner, which historically bring a further decline in donations, blood and platelet donors and volunteer blood drive hosts are urgently needed to avoid delays in medical treatments now and throughout the winter. Eligible donors can find a blood or platelet donation opportunity and schedule an appointment to donate by using the free blood donor app by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 800-RED-CROSS. And don't forget, donation appointments and completion of the Red Cross Rapid Pass are encouraged to help speed up the donation process. Well, folks, thanks for staying with us. I guess we've got a lot of animal lovers out there who are intrigued by our guest this morning, Linda Marino. She's volunteer president and chair of the board of Animal Haven, who provides temporary safe, caring, and humane refuge for homeless adoptable cats and dogs, and to subsequently place those animals in quality adoptive and permanent homes. You can learn more about them at theanimalhavenct.org, or better yet, you can help support them in one of a number number of different ways, including coming out this Saturday, November 24th from 9 to 2 to the North Haven Congregational Church across from the Town Green in North Haven to their 2018 holiday fair. So, Linda, in the few minutes that we have left with you, let's turn our attention to all of the exciting developments that have been going on at the Animal Haven over the past few months and perhaps even longer. You've done a huge renovation over there.
Yes, we did. In last winter, we were actually operating out of mobile units because our whole shelter was gut renovated. And the impetus for those renovations was the need for a new HVAC system so that we could keep our animals healthier and also to provide more room for operations. So the shelter is now gut renovated, but in providing more room for operations, we took some room away from our cats. So we're hoping to start an expansion of the shelter to add that room back for our cats. And those plans are in development now, and we're hoping to break ground, if not this fall, certainly by the spring. And if anyone has any interest in donating toward that effort, we would greatly appreciate it. Great. But that's what we're trying to do.
Great. Well, your upcoming holiday fair this coming Saturday at the North Haven Congregational Church is an opportunity for folks to come, maybe see some of these animals, of course, meet some of the great folks that work with you. They can also encounter craft vendors, purchase gift shop items for the holidays. There'll be a bake sale and refreshments, raffles and prizes, and they can bring donations of canned and dry cat and dog food, which are always welcome both at the holiday fair and at the center itself. But in the fleeting few moments that we have left with you, Linda, what are some other volunteer opportunities that folks might be able to help you with in the event they can't make an outright donation?
We have many, many, many volunteer opportunities. You can work in the shelter by helping to clean and take care of the animals, either the cat rooms or the dog kennel area. You can walk our dogs. You can help us with fundraising events like the holiday fair. We try to put these events on. They're an important part of our fundraising efforts, and we're always looking for volunteers who want to get involved in that. We look for people to do food and supply drives for us. The community is very generous and helps us by giving food to us, and we do supply drives at various locations. You can also help with building maintenance and repairs if you happen to have skills in that regard. We also are always looking for people with clerical and administrative skills to help us with data entry and things like that. Anybody with skills for writing grants, we could use that help too. So there are many, many, many ways to get involved with the shelter. And we do have a very nice group of volunteers that work with us, but we're always looking for more. And I think it's a really rewarding thing to do. If anyone has any interest in doing that, please contact me.
Excellent.
And I can be reached at linda@theanimalhavenct.org.
Excellent. Linda Marino is volunteer president and chairman of the board of the Animal Haven, a private nonprofit charitable organization serving the greater New Haven area since 1948. That's a no-kill shelter whose mission is to provide temporary, safe, caring, and humane refuge for homeless adoptable cats and dogs and to place those animals in quality adoptive permanent homes. We urge you to visit the Animal Haven's 2018 Holiday Fair this Saturday, November 24th from 9 to 2 at the North Haven Congregational Church across from the Town Green in North Haven. Crafters, refreshments, baked goods, and of course some furry friends I'm sure will be there along with all the great folks that work with Animal Haven for you to meet and hopefully support not only their day-to-day efforts in the keeping and care of all the animals they have, but in this new exciting project, their new cattery, I guess it's called, that you're going to be building, Linda. Thank you so much for being on the program this morning. And folks, if you do want to learn more, if there's something that you missed, all you need to do is go to theanimalhavenct.org to learn more. Linda, congratulations on your expansion. Good luck with the new project, and we'll see you at the craft fair. Well, in our continuing mission to both promote filling jobs at Connecticut manufacturing companies and bonus
transitioning individuals with disabilities into the workforce, we are now blessed with having the opportunity to do both in the same room at the same time. We're here in Newtown at Tier 1 with one of its principals, Mike Iasagna. This company has been working with Ability Beyond and the organization that preceded it for many, many years in helping folks with abilities transition into the workforce. Today, we're going to be talking about one of them, Amy Giordano. She won't be featured on the program, but we'll be talking a lot about Amy with Carrie O'Connell Davidson. She's the Director of Employment and Day Programs at Ability Beyond. We're also pleased to have a special guest in the room. Kathy Gross is with us. She's Program Manager for Ability Beyond and works directly with Amy. So we'll sort of be filtering the Amy experience through through Kathy. But first of all, let's talk to Carrie for folks that haven't heard the many, many interviews about Ability Beyond in the past. Carrie, let's talk a little bit about what Ability is and the work that's being done by this nonprofit.
Sure. Thank you for having us today. Ability Beyond is based in Chappaqua, New York, and in Bethel, Connecticut. We're an organization that has been providing services for more than 60 years to people with all types of disabilities. Our goal is to help each individual achieve as full independence as we possibly can. We are dedicated to empowering each person who walks through our doors, no matter what their disability is. We partner with state agencies, local municipality services, businesses, charitable foundations, all in achieving our mission. We work with 3,000 people in Connecticut and New York who benefit from our services and look forward to receiving our help. Some of our services include group home services, cognitive and life skills instructions, clinical and therapeutic support, and volunteer and recreational activities. I would just say, because empowerment is our goal, we also help interested clients find meaningful and gainful employment through career coaching, internships, job placements, just by partnering with area businesses. We work with young adults who are just aging out of high school, who could be 18 to 21, who are starting their first job, to somebody who has been out of the workforce for many years due to, say, a back injury and is getting reengaged and getting back into the workforce. We also have a distinct branch of our organization dedicated to job placements on the national level, which we're very proud of, called Disability Solutions.
Right. Can you talk a little bit more broadly about the success that you're seeing? I mean, Ability Beyond, it really seems to me, for somebody who's been with the organization three names ago, I've seen a huge explosion in the engagement process. So this experience that we're going to be talking about today at Tier 1, this is not a unique situation for folks that you're managing as well as clients that you're overseeing, right?
Yes, that's an excellent point. I think because we've been around for so long, so many people do know us in the community and know that we are there as a support. So our employment services alone has grown tremendously over the years due to the increase of a mental health diagnosis or returning veterans, or honestly, a lot of it is young adults who are graduating, like I mentioned, between 18 and 21 and really trying to be engaged in the workforce. So I would say our employment services, as well as all of our other exceptional services that we've been able to provide, have helped us to grow tremendously throughout Connecticut and New York.
And as we've all been hammering on that door to break open the stigma, that is something that thankfully we're all starting to see dissipate a little bit. There's a lot more acceptance and realization on the employer side that this is a somewhat untapped and extremely valuable workforce component.
Yes, totally. This is an untapped group of people who are looking for employment, who are highly skilled, who can help a business with their turnover and retention issues. Tier 1 is an excellent example of that. They're among tons of businesses that we work with in both Connecticut and New York who have realized that hiring people with disabilities helps their bottom line.
Excellent. Well, why don't you shift over here and let's get Kathy Gross to speak with us for just a few minutes about Amy. Kathy's a program manager at Ability Beyond. So Amy is a client that you worked with here at Tier 1, and she's successfully growing in her job function. Can you talk about the attributes that made you realize that she might be a good fit here for the job?
Amy is a delightful individual. She's quiet. She's a little shy, but she's focused. So doing the job here at Tier 1, you needed to be extremely focused at the pieces that you're putting together and also learning their computer system.
For the purpose of parents or educators or loved ones that might be listening who have a young person who could be a workforce candidate who may have a disability, what are a few of the things that you could tell us about how you kind of brought Amy to the point where she was willing to actually let herself be kind of cut loose and put into this kind of, not strange as in weird, but just an unfamiliar environment, quite different than what she was experiencing probably before she got to Tier 1, right?
I think it could be hard for parents sometimes to see their child, their young adult, coming to work and being independent. Here you have been in the school system for so long, and now I'm letting my kid take the bus to work and be independent. And Amy was shy. Amy did keep to herself, but her family encouraged her. She came here to Tier 1. She's taking the bus by herself, and she's focused on learning, earning her paycheck, and continuing to grow here at Tier 1. And her family supported her strengths, and they knew that she could do this job, and they supported her 100%.
How far back in time was your first encounter with Amy?
Roughly about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. Did she have career and job aspirations then, or is that something that developed as your relationship with her grew and you learned more about what she could do and what she wanted to do?
Amy did participate in our transition program, so she had a few work experiences through that as well as high school. So I learned about her through the course of those transition sites.
And what did she have different ideas about jobs or a career goal then than she has now?
Amy was very go with the flow. She kind of was learning herself, too, so she didn't have one specific goal, but she did know that she wanted to work. She did know that she wanted to be around very encouraging people, and Tier 1 was just a perfect match for her. She's having so much fun at work. She's doing her job to the best of her ability. She's exceeding that, and she's made lots of friends here at Tier 1.
Great. So you're not just exclusively involved with Amy. You've worked with a lot of people. There's something called an onboarding process that we want to talk about. First of all, just explain what that is and how that worked with Amy as she transitioned in here and became so successful.
The onboarding process to me can mean a couple different things. My staff, the employment specialists at Ability Beyond, go out and job develop every week, every day, and they want to meet with employers and they want to develop new relationships to help fill their empty spots of vacancies. So building those relationships, having communication with employers, learning about what makes the best employee at their business, because that's ultimately what we want to do. And then once we do find that perfect someone for that job, again, the communication and what we need to do and helping facilitate communication between the individual, between the business, and as well as us. I mean, we do support some people long-term and some people short-term. So continuing having that relationship with businesses in our community.
We asked Carrie a little bit about this, but I'm more interested in hearing, or equally interested, I should say, in hearing about this from kind of the frontline level. The attitude and the acceptance and the inclusion of the workforce around the candidates that you're working with, I'm sure you're seeing firsthand this kind of this moment of discovery when people feel and truly experience that there's a great relationship to be had here with these candidates, all toward once again breaking down the stigma.
It truly is breaking down the stigma. I've been doing this for roughly 10 years, and I meet with employers all the time. I sometimes will job coach at employment sites that we've had forever that managers have changed and don't quite know our services. Just continuously advocating for the individuals that we serve and breaking down that stigma every day.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Kathy. Appreciate your time. Let's go to the employer himself now, Mike Iasagna, principal here with Tier 1 in Newtown. Mike, first, real quick, just give folks a kind of the elevator spiel about what Tier 1 is all about.
Oh, okay, John. Well, welcome to Tier One. Glad to have you here. Tier One is a contract manufacturer of highly engineered and function critical assemblies and machine parts. We're mostly focused in the medical instruments industry, but have recently got our AS9100 certification and are branching out into some aerospace work as well.
So let's talk about your experience with Ability Beyond and how long you've been working with them. Obviously, this organization has kind of evolved from a number of them previously, but today, your experience with Ability Beyond and what makes you excited to continue and perhaps grow the partnership?
Well, over 20 years ago, when we were a part of the DuPont company, we were engaged with Ability Beyond, who daily brought a van full of about a half dozen employees to do packaging work in the DuPont centrifuge business. So I had a lot of experience working with that group in the past. Recently, we won a job from one of our customers to do some pretty detailed packaging work that required attention to detail and was had a very high volume of work that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And it was very similar to the type of work that I remembered Ability Beyond doing for us back in the DuPont days. So we got in touch with Ability Beyond, and they came in and saw the work that we were looking to have done, and they said that they would absolutely be able to fill that with a quality person.
So it really was Tier One's long standing commitment to the disabled in the workforce that helped plant the seed of who to call when you needed the right person for this particular position.
Yeah, I believe that's true. In a company like ours, probably like most companies, there's a million different types of work that needs to be done. And we just try to look for the people who fit that work best. And in this case, especially with a highly repetitive job, there's a lot of people that don't want to do that kind of work. And however, it would be a really good fit for somebody else, and Ability Beyond came to mind.
So tell us about that that day when Amy was unveiled to Tier One and to you, Mike, and what is it about her that resonated with you as perhaps maybe being the right person right off, or learning over time that she was really the right person for the job?
Well, I think one of the great things about the way Ability Beyond works with an employer is on that first day and throughout the first month, a job coach comes along with the candidate, and it's really a partnership between the job coach and our assembly supervisor to make sure that the candidate can be successful in that job. I think basically we trained the job coach first along with Amy, and as the job coach was able to do the job, was able to oversee Amy's work. And I think for the first two or three weeks, the job coach was there every day. And then after that, they started weaning off. Mm-hmm. And as we all got more confident that Amy could do the work independently without a whole lot of supervision, it got to the point where it was only spot checks by the job coach. And it's really great to see, you know, Amy come into work and she clocks in like everybody else and finds her way back to the assembly area and says, she's not very talkative, but she says hello to the people that she knows and that she recognizes, and she just gets back there and gets right to work.
And I imagine that even makes it more special to the folks that she's interacting with, that she has a few words with them once in a while.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, she's really become a great team player. She's gotten to know a couple of the other folks that work in the general area really well. It's really, she really brightens everybody's day. And it makes us all smile when you go in there. She's usually got the radio turned up pretty loud, and as she's doing her job, she's sitting there bopping along with the music. And every once in a while, she'll get up and start dancing with one of her coworkers, and it just makes everybody smile in the area.
Well, it probably is the perfect answer to my next question. But Mike, every time I interact with somebody who's either part of a manufacturing company or part of an initiative tied to a manufacturing company, especially here in Connecticut, it's usually two or three points into the conversation where I'm already hearing about 2,000 to 3,000 open jobs every day in Connecticut in manufacturing. So can you just speak to all the folks that might be listening who are either part of a manufacturing company, HR person, leadership, ownership, about this valued and underutilized workforce that Ability Beyond can help facilitate into other companies like Tier 1?
Yeah, that's a great point. As I said before, manufacturing companies like ours have needs for employees at many different skill levels. But a key to it is we need people who pay strong attention to details. And Amy is one of those kind of people where she can sit there and focus on the task at hand and do a really high quality job. We have, in order to fill a lot of the manufacturing jobs in our company, we have affiliations with the local technical high schools, Abbott Tech and Platt Tech. We have affiliations with Housatonic Community College and Naugatuck Valley Community College. We have an affiliation with Newtown High School's Career Department. So we'll look everywhere for people that we think we can bring into the company that will fit the kinds of roles that we need. And Ability Beyond is just another one of those resources that can bring a whole different type of employee to us that is absolutely needed in our manufacturing company, and I would bet most manufacturing companies.
And obviously highly valued.
Oh, highly valued. She's, like I said, she pays close attention to detail, and she beats all of our productivity standards. She's just a joy to have around, and she's a great reflection on what we want to be as a company.
Great. Well, that brings me back to Carrie O'Connell Davidson, who's with the Ability Beyond organization. So, Carrie, from your perspective, what was it that helped Ability Beyond feel confident in partnering with Tier 1? Was it just that established history? Or maybe you can even speak more generally to brand new companies that you've become acquainted with in more recent times who are just discovering this untapped workforce and the potential of your people for the first time.
Well, if you're just hearing about us for the first time, give us a shot. As we've mentioned many times, we have many highly qualified people who are looking for different types of employment opportunities. And above all, we have really dedicated, enthusiastic, professional staff that can help you along the way with matching the right applicants to your place of employment. So I think for Tier 1, yes, it's history. They've grown with us as we've grown over the past 20 years. They've been there along our side, and they've seen us change how our employment services have been from a group model to more individual placements. And they know the work that we provide is successful, and we continue to have a great relationship.
Now, Mike kind of described it with Amy, but can you just speak for a few moments about how easy Ability Beyond tries to make it for the employers that are welcoming their people into the workforce? Because maybe one of the tripping points or one of the issues that an employer might have is the amount of time and effort it's going to take to get a person like Amy to the point where they are performing so well and so productively. Based on what Mike described, it sounds like, it's a pretty relatively quick and non-invasive process to the employer.
Correct. It isn't labor intensive for the employer. That's because of our staff, our qualified staff. We make that process seamless. So if you are looking for the applicant, we bring the right qualified applicant to you and kind of take over the rest and make sure it's seamless from that point on.
Great. Can then just hit people with the phone number and the website for them, and we'll stand by and let the phone start ringing.
That'd be great. Absolutely. You can visit us at www.abilitybeyond.org for more information. And once you're there, you can click on different tabs if you are looking to receive or enroll for services. We also have a really nice transition page on the top of our website that family members can go to who are going through the transition process as their loved ones are graduating from high school and are trying to navigate that whole system. So feel free to look at that. Readers and listeners can also call us at 1-888-832-8247, or like I said, connect us with us at our website or email us at info@abilitybeyond.org.
One of the rare shows where the real star guest of the show is not even a part of the interview process, but I want to thank all the folks that met with us this morning here at Tier 1 in Newtown, Carrie O'Connell-Davidson, Director of Employment and Day Programs, and Kathy Gross, Program Manager, both at Ability Beyond, and Mike Iasagna, Principal here at Tier 1. And folks, you may be hearing about a year-end appeal that Ability Beyond is just ramping up as we broadcast this program. Certainly your support and interest in this organization from beyond the point of a potential employer or the parent or loved one of someone who's seeking the support that Ability Beyond can provide. They couldn't do the incredible work that they do and help with workforce transition without the added support of individuals who get on board and make donations, or in lieu of that, consider possibly volunteering, hosting an event to benefit Ability Beyond. It's all available for you, and all you need to do to learn more is go to their website, once again, abilitybeyond.org. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a PSA relevant to the audience and communities we serve, you must make a request for airtime in writing to me via email at john.voket, that's john.voket, at connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast without permission of Connoisseur Media. Our public file, reflecting the full scope of our station's responsiveness to critical issues in the communities we serve, can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voket. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and important information on the award-winning For the People. Don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.